the book of Isaiah, and today we come to Isaiah chapter 58. This is our 38th study in the book of Isaiah. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 58, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. And that is the job of the minister of God's word. There is a time for encouragement, but the preacher's job is to recognize what is wrong and warn his people not to go down that path as well. And it's to preach against sin, as it is laid out in the holy word of God. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me, the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. And so the people were playing games with God. Show us your will, O Lord. But not even doing the will of God that they already knew. Phoniness. Disingenuine. Intellectually and spiritually dishonest. Verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? They fasted and they wanted to know why God did not respond. Well, here's why. Last part of verse 3. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. That's why. They fasted, but they were bad to each other. God cares more about his people being good than he cares about sacrifice and religious formalism. And fasting isn't going to do you a bit of good if you don't repent. Verse 4, indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. Fasting irritated them. So they took it out on each other. But you know, total waste of time. A fast that accompanies a humble spirit is a fast that God respects. Verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? They made themselves look humble and went through the motions of humility, but their hearts were not in it. God says, that doesn't impress me one bit. 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. It's not talking about eggs. He says, be kind, be merciful, and treat people fairly. In other words, God wants his people to fast at being bad. Fast being bad, give that up, and replace it with being good. 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. God also wants his people to fast from being selfish and indifferent to the needs of others. Be helpful, be generous, be sympathetic, says God. Verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. God says, if you're kind to others, then I'm going to be kind to you. Verse 9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. God says, if you treat others the way you should, then I will hear and answer your prayers. I will be there for you to help you. last part of verse 9, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. God says, stop being cruel. Don't lie about people. And quit your gossiping. And start doing good. And your bad days, even your bad days, will be better than your former good days. 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. God is saying, if you stop treating people badly and start doing good, I will give you satisfaction. A servant-type person who serves to honor God is seldom dissatisfied. 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Babylon had knocked down many cities in Israel. God says, I will see that those cities are rebuilt if you start living the right way. When we live for God and make the tough choices, He always makes it worth our while. 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Saturday was the Lord's day. It was the Sabbath, according to the law of Moses, and the Israelites were binding. Or that was binding on the Israelites. It's not on us today. It's not for the church. But it was binding on the Israelites, and it was designed to be an extra special day dedicated to the Lord and not to normal daily activities. It served as a reminder that God is God, that God is the Creator. You know, if you set aside one day a week for church and for thinking about God, and not about all the other things in your life, then it's pretty hard to stay too far from God. Chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. In other words, God can do it. God can do what? God can do whatever you need. God isn't any weaker today than He was on the day He created the entire world. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. If God is not hearing our prayers, it is not because He can't. It's because we are tolerating some sin, and therefore He won't. God doesn't have to change. We do. If we change, God will hear and He will act. Verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. In other words, God says, you've become corrupt. You are not living the way you should live. God decides what is right and what is wrong, and what we should and should not do. And when we go against Him, we are corrupt. It is that simple. Verse 4. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They spent their time plotting evil and then told lies in courts to get in court to get away with it. But God saw it all. Verse 5, they hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. And verse 6, their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. In other words, this evil behavior did not do anyone any good at all. Not even themselves, not in the long run. They hurt others with their evil behavior and tried to avoid punishment with more evil behavior, but they failed. You can't outrun the wrath of God, and you can't outrun the consequences of your sin. 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Doing wrong did not set them apart from other sinners. Everybody does wrong. It's just that they couldn't wait to do wrong. That was their problem. Their feet ran to evil. They made haste. They couldn't wait to do something bad. Verse 8. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. They lived in misery, and they were a poor example to others because those who followed in their footsteps became just as miserable as them. Verse 9, therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. Right things did not happen, and things didn't get any better because they continued to do what was wrong. No one gets a good crop if they plant bad seeds. Spiritual seeds, behavior seeds, or literal seeds. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. People who live in sin live in darkness. They stumble along like a walking dead person, missing out on the good that God has for them. Verse 11, we all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. Their expectations always fall short. They look for solutions to their problems, but their problems were the result of their sinful behavior, which they refused to give up. 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. They were guilty, and they knew that they were guilty. Verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. They treated others unfairly. They treated God like he was their enemy. And that's a guaranteed recipe for trouble. 14, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth didn't even exist anymore to them. Objective truth based on God's word had long been rejected and abandoned. Truth, so-called, had become whatever I want it to be. Whatever I want to be true, want to be true, is true. Of course, it's all make-believe. 15. The truth fails. Anyone who tried to live a good life and tried to stand up for what was right was soon attacked. The truth failed. People hated God, so they hated anyone who reminded them of God. It says the truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey Last part of verse 15. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no justice. God saw all the evil. And what upset him even more was that no one put a stop to it. 16. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. God's people are not saved just to avoid damnation. They are God's people to be witnesses to the world as to what the real God is like. Well, his people were not doing that. They were evil and no one was trying to stop them, so he had to stop them himself. 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. When God says enough, that's it. He gets angry and he starts punishing. He punishes to bring about justice and to get people to live right. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. People can talk smart about their sin, and they can talk smart about God, but God will judge the world, and then all people will fear him. Verse 20, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. God says, I'm going to save my people. That is, I will save all who turn away from wickedness. 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. God says, if you stick with me, I will give you good things that will last forever and ever. And we stop there, and I'll pick it up in chapter 60 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.